Right now, though, we are joined by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library with Talking Books. How are you?
I'm doing well. What was that bumper music? And is that the right phrase, bumper music?
That was bumper music or an intro. That was the song Your Woman by Whitetown.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a classic 90s song.
I was going to say, I definitely recognized
you
it.
You recognized
but I
it. I thought you instantly
along.
Recognized
I was
it because
chair dancing.
As soon as the song went on, like you got this like flash of recognition, like, oh, I love this song. And then I turned your microphone. I was like, what is this song? I've never heard it before. It's very good.
I like that song.
Yeah, it's a good song, right?
I brought you a gift.
Oh, all right. Forget the song. What's
right?
Look
what I brought you. I'm going to rustle the packaging off. Can you hear that out there in Radio Land?
Yeah.
I brought you some library swag.
Oh, my God. Library swag.
As of a letter that I sent to our beloved Chapel Hill community last Friday,
yes.
We are launching our new look.
That is true.
Our new look is just one part of it. We have a whole new dedication to customer mm-hmm. service and user experience and being awesome.
What'd you get me?
I got you a button.
Oh, my God.
And a mug. And look, I'm going to put the button in the mug and pass it to you. Ready? There you go.
Oh, that's well done.
So, yeah, we sent out a letter to folks that are on our email list.
This is an awesome logo.
Thank you. And we posted it on our website and on social media. People will start to see this new logo places, and it really reflects our new outlook and our new mission, which
yes.
we developed with a lot of input from the community and other folks. And our new mission is six words.
Okay.
Sparking curiosity, uh-huh. inspiring learning, and creating connections. That's what we do at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
All right.
And we worked with a designer to design a new look that reflects really that mission.
That's cool. So, okay, so how does the logo reflect the mission? Because it's a cool
you
logo.
You tell me, Buster.
Oh, all right. So, wait a minute. It's sparking curiosity, creating connections, and a third thing. What was the third thing?
Sparking curiosity,
yes.
inspiring
learning
and
creating
connections.
So
it's
got
not
three,
like each... Right.
So, we've got three interlocking, not quite boxes, but there's like a little space in all the boxes. So the creating connections is finding that space to fill the box, but also leaving room for people to maneuver in and out.
Could be.
The inspiring learning is all three of the boxes are like screens within screens within screens.
Ooh.
So it's like you go online, you go to the card catalog, you can look at the original online screen, which is the book itself.
Right.
And the inspiring curiosity is, hey, Aaron, what does this logo mean and why does this correspond to our new motto?
So we did not say designer, pick something with three colors and three lines because there's three parts to our mission.
Yes.
That just came about.
Just so
it was a really great process.
Like
people have seen a maze. They've seen a question mark. They've seen a window. They've seen a screen. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a bright new look.
It is whatever you make it, much like the Chapel Hill Public Library itself.
Boom.
Boom.
Show's over.
Good night,
no, the
everybody.
Show's not over.
No,
the show's just
like
getting started.
We've got 2.5 hours left on the air here.
So I brought you that.
All right.
We're rolling it in. So we don't have all new library cards with it, but soon we will reorder cards when the old ones are all finished. We are reprinting things. So we're trying to be really good stewards of the tax dollars. So the old stuff is still there. And in fact, I was at the desk yesterday helping this lovely lady,
mm-hmm.
and she gets out her library card, and she's still got her card from like 1974.
Oh, wow.
It
That's
was
cool.
Well, it couldn't have been that long. It was it was the first plastic card we did at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Wow.
So it's got to be from the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is awesome. This is totally vintage. I was
That's
like...
That's really cool.
And we had been talking about the new look. She's like, you know, I'm not going to get one of those new cards because I've still got this
still
one.
Got
I was like,
one, yeah.
That is awesome.
It's still
that
working.
Is, awesome.
Is it all like worn and kind of...
It still works, though.
Bit,
it's got
it
the
works.
Barcode
all
on
right.
it. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was cool.
How many different library moves has that survived? Was the library
so she must have gotten
Park
that one
in
on,
the 80s?
She must have gotten that one on Franklin Street.
Okay. So it went from Franklin Street to Pritchard Park to the mall and then
back to
the new building. Wow.
I actually recently gave a talk on the history of the library. And I got to, there's some great pictures in it,
yeah.
but it goes back to a house on Franklin Street and a volunteer library. And it's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Nice.
Library swag.
I like it. I am going to use the heck out of this mug.
And we will have some giveaway things soon.
Okay.
Our summer reading program is coming up, which we are reimagining this year. It's a summer learning challenge. Mm-hmm. Summer reading is part of it, but usually we give away lots of prizes that are sort of not, they're just like random things from this national program that don't say Chapel Hill on them or have any connection to us. So this year, all of the summer reading prizes will feature our new logo.
Oh,
so
awesome.
We have magnets and bumper stickers and...
Cool.
Maybe
I'm gonna have
frisbees
to get one of the bumper
and can koozies.
Cool.
We have can koozies to give away for the summer reading program. So it's going
to
be
awesome. You got two syllables into that. And I was like, trips to Cancun. Oh, can koozies. Okay.
Well, I almost said beer koozies, but I'm like, no.
Can koozies.
They're for any can.
They're for soda
or bottle.
And beer
right.
And bottles of beer
and yes.
Cans of beer and large bottles.
You could put your beer in a glass and probably fit it in there. Why would you do that? I don't know.
I don't know. You got to. I'm gonna have to hide this mug though, because like a little known fact for people, I like to let people in the behind the scenes
yes.
action here at the radio station. We are until we move, which is going to be later on this year, I believe.
What?
Later on, because okay. You know, new everything. But we're in this building right now, up in Northern Chapel Hill, and we're in this building with a whole bunch. It's a larger building with a whole bunch of other like. Businesses and things in here. There's an IT place and a doctor's office and university directors. And all. So there's a kitchen that has a whole bunch of like just sort of community mugs that are just available. I got a dishwasher. There is a mug thief somewhere in the building. The mugs just very slowly started to disappear a while ago, and they have not been brought back.
Don't take that mug in
I'm
there.
I'm not taking this mug in there because it's going to be
it's
gone.
It's going to be coveted, highly coveted.
If you're in the studio, Ron Stutz has a mug. Which he just uses and reuses every single morning, but he leaves it in here so that right. It doesn't get stolen by anyone. It's this like green peace logo mug, as befits Ron Stutz.
Does he not wash it?
No, I think he washes it.
Oh, I mean, no, because it's okay if you don't wash it. If you're a like me, a black coffee drinker,
right,
you drink the cup
right.
of coffee, and
which
even
is,
if there's
which
some
is
in
what
there,
it, is. Right.
It just warms it
doesn't
up
matter.
The next
exactly.
day. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's actually a perfect segue for the first book I was going to talk about.
Ooh, great.
Boom.
Nice.
Once again.
What is our
ready
topic?
To go?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
So we decided our prompt for the day was graduation.
Graduation, because we just had graduation.
And there's still graduations to come.
There's still graduations to come. UNC had theirs this past weekend. Durham Tech, I got a shout out to Durham Tech because they had theirs at DPAC yesterday. And I don't know how that's possible because I submitted my grades for my Durham Tech class this morning. Hopefully everyone who graduated. My Durham Tech class just wrapped up. All the students just had their graduation
awesome.
Yesterday. So awesome.
At DPAC, that's cool.
At DPAC, yeah. Really, really cool ceremony. So graduations aplenty happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was
and
thinking
Duke's
about...
just coming up, I think, right?
Yeah, and I and then high schools.
And high
my
schools
fifth grader's going to have a graduation.
Nice.
So I was thinking I'm going to go reverse chronological thinking about graduation. So I was
okay,
thinking about
cool.
all the college grads
right.
who are hopefully going to be employed very soon,
yes.
if not now. And
ooh,
yes.
that's good.
I only had one
suggestion.
Now you
have
two.
Have two. Yes.
So I was thinking about
but whatever.
All of these folks going out into the working world for the
uh-huh.
first time, and they might be curious as to what they're getting into. And so I wanted to recommend a book called Then We Came to the End by Joshua Ferris.
Okay.
It came out in early to mid-2000s, and it's set in 2001. And the story about the mug thief mm-hmm. is perfect for it. So
all
it's
right.
set in 2001. The dot-com bubble has burst. It's set at a Chicago ad agency. And so the layoffs are coming,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about office politics and what happens in
ooh.
The working world.
I like
and
it.
So there's different ages, not... everybody's young, but there are some younger folks, but it deals with the cubicle politics
okay.
and the stapler thief.
Right, right.
And the mug thief.
Yes, yeah.
And the water
awesome.
Cooler gossip and all of that.
About the mug thief and the stapler
exactly,
thief.
Exactly, right?
Exactly, right, yeah. That's all we're talking about around here.
And what's,
forget House Bill too. When we're
right?
out there in the
mugs?
Front room, who's got the mugs? That's the real question. We think it's Phil Berger. We're blaming everything on
wow.
him.
Wow. There you go. So here's a weird one. Probably the weirdest
right.
office thing I ever had. I worked at
uh-huh.
a library one time, not here,
uh-huh.
where there was a
if
lunch bandit.
If it were
bandit.
Here, would you be shuffing this off onto some other library?
Oh,
even
totally.
If it was,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
So this happened in Chapel Hill last week.
There was a lunch bandit, and they would not just take, so they would take people's lunches from the fridge. They would take your food from the fridge.
Like just straight up take a whole lunch.
They would steal it.
What?
And then, so there's sort of like the posters going up, quit stealing the food thief. And then they started getting really passive aggressive and kind of weird.
So the food thief got passive aggressive?
Yeah. So like they would take like half a sandwich and leave the other half. And then the worst one is they started taking a bite of your food and then putting it back in.
If it were me and I wanted to be passive aggressive, I would cut out the middle of the sandwich, take that, and just leave the edge. That would be the most passive aggressive. They took bites out of sandwiches and then just left them there.
Right?
That's ridiculous.
You think librarians are nice cat ladies who are gentle and kind and read cozy mysteries.
Have I ever thought that.
Some of them are passive-aggressive food thieves. But anyways, then we came to the end by Joshua Ferris. Here's the cool thing about it. It's a fabulous book. Stop it. I see what you did there. All but the anchovy bite. No, I'm kidding. They used to take a bite of the pizza. Anyways. Ugh. Then we came to the end by Joshua Ferris. It's a fabulous book to read if you're setting out into the working world. Of course, your office won't be like this, graduates. Mm-hmm. But here's the coolest thing about it is it is written in first person plural. So it's we.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I'm often not a fan of tricks like that. He totally pulls it off. It's really, really interesting.
This guy's like living in the Ayn Rand Anthem world where
I don't know.
Themselves
I never read Ayn Rand.
Yeah,
I never did.
But yeah.
I don't plan to.
No, don't.
But you should plan to read Joshua Ferris. Then we came to the end.
All right.
Boom.
Cool.
There you go.
Awesome. All right. Well, the one that you reminded me of while you were talking about that, you were talking about like college graduates going out into the world. This is the book that when I was young and naive and I really wanted to go to law school. I don't know how I was in high school, I think, when I read this book. But it's all about the first year of law school. It's called 1L by
Scott Turow.
Great book.
Yes.
It's semi-fictionalized, but it's basically a memoir of his first year of law school at Harvard, and fictionalized insofar as like he took two characters and melded them into one composite so as to protect the innocent, of which there are none at Harvard Law School, but nevertheless. But it's a great, great book about what you can expect to encounter in your first year in law school. And I think he wrote it in the 70s or something like that. Like,
yes.
It's about his, like, this is from law school, like, way back in the day, like the 70s or something like that. But
and our lovely babysitter, Nicole, who just graduated from UNC, is headed for law school. And I recommended that book to her.
Yes.
And then I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I wonder if it holds up. I wonder if first year law school in the 70s or 80s, whenever he wrote it, is the same.
And if she's not going to Harvard Law School, like, is the Harvard Law School experience the same as, like, UNC law or Duke law or even, like, Yale law or something along those lines? I'm not 100% sure. But
I don't know. I'm no lawyer.
I'm not going to go to two law schools and find out.
Right.
The only way to do it is
that is a great book. Yeah. And most people know him from Presumed Innocent.
And all of the, like, legal thrillers
he wrote. Legal thrillers, none of them which I thought were as great as Presumed Innocent. And then, like, 15 years after Presumed Innocent, he wrote a follow-up to that called Innocent, which was really, really good.
Nice.
That came out 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay. All right.
Okay. There were like three books wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready next?
1L. Yes. Go for
it. Okay. So then I was thinking, what about the high school kids who are graduating and coming into college? And I was thinking, if you're coming to UNC, like many colleges, they have a summer reading program.
Right.
And I wanted to recommend this year's book for everybody, which is Being Mortal by Atul Gawande.
I so want to read this book. Gawande?
Gawande?
I think it's Gawande.
Gawande?
And it's called Being Mortal.
Being Mortal. All of his books are fabulous.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of The Checklist Manifesto. And then he wrote one, A Surgeon's Notes, which is really, really great. He's just he's a gifted writer. He's a gifted doctor. But Being Mortal, I think, is a really interesting choice for young people coming into college because it's his writing about end-of-life care and how we as a society and as the medical profession deal with end-of-life, death, and dying. And it's really, really great. He's a fabulous writer.
All right.
I also think it's cool, having worked in public libraries in college towns, when the colleges do these programs, I encourage the community to also read it, because there's thousands of people that are going to come and live in your town that are often decades younger than you.
They're all encountering the same
book. You don't know what you got to talk to them about. Here's a great thing. Here's this book that we're all reading. And then you could start a conversation with these folks that are going to be living in your town for 5-6 years.
I love that. And like this book was on every single top. When did it come out? 2014,
I think so. Yeah.
This book was on like every single top 10 list that you run across. Like it won all these awards. It's amazing. I need to read this book.
You should read all of his books and that one.
Yeah.
And it's we have them all at the library.
Is it available at the library?
You can
right
put
now?
It on hold because you got the app now since we talked last week, right?
Yes.
You got the app?
Yep.
You did not get the app. You're lying.
No,
you didn't.
I'm a Durham resident. I can't, I have to buy a library card if I want to go to the Chapel Hill.
You live in Durham?
I do, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a whole housing conversation.
Okay.
That's a separate thing. Okay, so mine. This is the one that I actually thought of before coming in. This is a great graduation. Like, it's about students who are graduating. They're moving on into the world. It's about the graduation process. It's about growing up and becoming an adult and realizing things about the world that you may have not been aware of, or things that may have been kept from you.
Are you talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I'm talking about The Giver by Lois Lowry.
The Giver.
Is Fast Times at Ridgemont High a book?
That was a total joke.
All right.
Sorry. A bad one, apparently.
Although I've been thinking about Dazed and Confused recently.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies like Fast Times, because Everybody Wants Some is out now, which is a kind of follow-up that Linklater did, which isn't at the Chelsea anymore. I was disappointed, but they've got new movies there.
Are you ready for True Confessions, library style?
Sure.
I've never read The Giver.
What?
I've never read The Giver.
It's good.
I know.
Watch the movie.
I won't.
The movie's actually...
I've never told anyone that, so I'm telling you, Aaron, and only you, because it's just us talking,
just
and
us,
nobody
yep.
knows. I've never read The Giver.
Okay. It's a good book. I didn't read it until I was in... I think I was like 30 when I read it, because I had to teach a...
Well, so I've got a couple years then.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hey
now. What?
Because I was teaching a class on politics and literature. This was when I was at Duke. I was teaching a class on politics and literature. I decided to make the whole class about children's literature. It's like, oh, The Giver would be a good book to teach, but I haven't read it, so I probably should get around to doing that first. So I did that and then taught the class. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Everyone has, it's got this reputation for being about communism, but it's not about communism at all. Anyway, go on.
I couldn't tell
it
you what really it's about.
Yeah.
I got my fifth grader has read it.
Yeah.
I have not read it. It's in my house. I haven't read it. I will read it.
A number of books that your fifth grader has read.
I'm totally going to read it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Right.
Okay, I have one more.
Okay.
So we started with people graduating college and heading out into the world, people graduating high school, heading to college. And then I think about, what about the people graduating like middle school, right? And heading into high school.
Right.
And then I thought, high school, to me, one of the most authentic portrayals of high school, Freaks and Geeks, the TV show.
Oh, yes.
One season.
Speaking of like, it's dated, but it's not.
Right.
It's like from 1980, but yeah.
Right, that show was so good.
Yeah, it was.
So good. It kills me. And I've watched, there's 13 episodes, I think.
Right.
I've watched them so many times.
Yeah, that's so good.
So that was done by Paul Feig. Feig,
Feig. I think it's Feig, yeah. And Judd Apatow, right? Wasn't Apatow involved in that too? Yeah.
So I wanted to recommend, Paul Feig wrote a book called Kick Me. I think it's Adventures in Adolescence, and it's all about his middle and high school years. And he was this both a freak and a geek kind of a thing. You know, he played D&D. He was in like the chess club. He was, you know, skinny and nerdy and acne and all of it. And you're just awkward.
Right.
Totally awkward. His whole family, I think, was awkward. It's just hilarious. And then he goes on to do, you know, Freaks and Geeks and all
stuff.
Of these other things. It's a really, really great book.
Okay.
Much like Joshua Ferris's book is not necessarily how your work life's going to be.
Right.
It's totally how your work life's going to be.
It's totally how it's going
to
be.
Paul Feig's book is not, it's totally not how high school is.
It's absolutely how high school is. Yep.
And then you get over it.
And then
you become someone else completely.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right. So before we let you go, you love Freaks and Geeks. Have you seen Undeclared?
No, I have not. But you know, so many people tell me I should watch
if you
that.
Love, it's not as good, but if you really love Freaks and Geeks, you will really like Undeclared.
So I've got to read The Giver first, and then I'll watch Undeclared.
Okay, put it on the list.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. Or neither. Or both.
Okay.
Simultaneously. Read The Giver with Undeclared on in the background, and then you're killing two birds with one stone.
There we go. I like that.
Good, right?
While drinking tea from my mug.
From your mug with the button in it. All right, Susan Brown, Chef of Hope Public Library, thank you so much.
Thank you.